to you, saints of God, who worship at Guildford. The word that I would leave with you today is from Psalm 91. I know I have already spoken it twice. I do so again today. I want it to be your psalm throughout the crisis. It would be good if you read it every day. Pray over it every day. It is God's word. But make it God's word to you personally. Let me please read it again to you. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. The mighty fortress. Luther said, A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. This psalm has in the background the following thought. We men and women are weak and vulnerable. That in ourselves we have no strength, no safety, no security. Mankind stands exposed. And that's true. We really feel this at this present time of national and world crisis. The coronavirus has let us see how frail and fragile we are. The backdrop of this psalm and the previous psalm, Psalm 90, is that many are dying. Many are falling in the wilderness. It is a time of death and destruction, and Israel is brought face to face with human frailty. Psalm 90, verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. Verse 5, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they're like grass which groweth up. You see how frail man is? Can't prevent the flood, can't prevent the sleep, can't prevent the being withered. We spend our years as a tale that is told, verse 9. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength it be 80 years, yet is our strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The frailty of humanity, the brevity of life, the insecurity of our existence. The psalm before us, Psalm 91, is similar. We are exposed to danger, open to disease and sickness. This is true physically, in regard to our material, earthly life. In ourselves, we're weak, defenceless, susceptible. The coronavirus has made us reflect on that. We're all sharply aware of that now. And while it is true of our physical life that we are vulnerable, it is also true as God's people in relation to our spiritual life. We are no stronger spiritually than we are physically. Our whole humanity is poor and needy, and is so every day. This psalm points out the dangers we face. Verse 3 talks about the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence. Verse 5 talks about the terror by night, and the arrow that flieth by day. The pestilence in verse 6 walks in darkness, and the destruction wastes at noonday. In verse 7 we read about 1,000 falling at one side and 10,000 at the other side. Verse 10 mentions the evil that may befall us and the plague that can come nigh the dwelling. Verse 13 highlight the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. These are all dangers. These are all metaphors of our weakness and vulnerability and how open we are to destruction. What chance is there for us against all of this? In ourselves, no chance. But the focus of this psalm is not on all these dangers that we are exposed to. The focus is not on the problem. The focus is not so much on the fact that we are weak and vulnerable. That is all assumed. That's the accepted reality. The focus in the psalm is on the place of safety, the place that is available for the poor, weak, and susceptible sinner. This habitation, this dwelling place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a place we can run to, that we can enter into and hide. And this is a place for you at this time. We are hearing a lot about the virus. Even the little children are saying they're tired and sick hearing about it. In the crisis of our age, I want you to live in Psalm 91. I want you to go into lockdown with this precious portion of God's word upon your heart. I want you to consider often the place where you can find refuge, and not so much focus on the problem. Yeah, in that place, you can have a right perspective on the problem. You can be in the boat and you can look out at the storm, knowing that the Saviour is with you. In the psalm, the place that I'm talking about has many names. I want you to notice the names. In verse 1, it's called the secret place of the Most High. And then it's called the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 2, it's called a refuge. He is my refuge. It's called a fortress, my fortress. In verse 4, It's called the place of covering with his feathers. It's called his wings in the same verse. And in verse 9 is called thy habitation. There are about 7 names there. They're metaphors. They provide pictures of the security of this place. They are metaphors that are telling us we can trust God, that there is safety in him. These pictures or metaphors are drawn from 2 fields. One is the military field. Verses 1 and 2 have that in view. A war or military background. The Lord, you see, is a rock or a fortress. My fortress. He is the secret place. He is the refuge. He provides the shade and the shadow. We all know what a fortress is. All these pictures in verses 1 and 2 are linked. There are different words for the same place, describing different aspects of that place. The main one is fortress. This place is a fortress. There are many ancient forts on our island and on the mainland of the United Kingdom. Some of them go back to medieval times. They were places of refuge in danger and in trouble, especially in war, especially in times of invading hosts. These fortresses were built with military security in mind. In Bible times, there were fortresses as well. Towns were fortified. Sometimes rocky plateaus or mountain tops were made scenes of fortresses. They were made secure places for time of trouble. Masada is a famous Bible time fortress down in the Judean wilderness near the Dead Sea. It is basically a high rock with flat plateau. It was practically unassailable. Although Roman patience and skill broke through eventually in AD 72. Up in Masada there was refuge. Up there was the secret place, the shelter, the hiding place of safety from the enemy. Up there they safely ate and drank and lived. It is said they were so secure, and even though besieged, that they had enough water in the cisterns to bathe. Masada as a rock is a great shadow over the land. That's the imagery of verses 1 and 2. But the fortress in verses 1 and 2 is not Masada. Masada fell. This fortress never falls. For this fortress is God himself. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust. I can trust him. I can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I can stand under the shadow of the Almighty. In this context of military metaphors, notice the divine names. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Why does the psalmist, who we believe to be Moses, use these names? These names are found in the writings of Moses. In fact, the only other verse in the Bible where both names come together, the Almighty and the Most High, is in the book of Numbers. The Almighty is the favourite name for God in the book of Job. Why is that? Because Satan is seen in that book. His attacks, his devices are seen in the book of Job. he appears mighty. But one is mightier, the Almighty. Only God is that. And in Christ, that's where you are. You're in the Almighty. That is no mean thing, child of God. You can rest. You can trust there. You need not fear there. Rest in the Lord. Trust in him at all times. In this warfare, in the struggle, in the assault, in this present crisis. But the Almighty is also the Most High. The highest. The highest fortress. The highest refuge. That means that there is no one and nothing higher. Satan boasted he would make the mark and reach that level. Just as those that he gives their seats to, like Antichrist, boast, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But it is a false boast. Their high thoughts are brought down, as they themselves will be, and are cast into the lowest pit. The Most High. This is a name of sovereignty, military rule, sovereign power. Remember Melchizedek before Abraham? Genesis 14, verse 20. He said, Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. It was the Most High that did it. It was the highest who wrought the victory and put your enemies right into your hand. This is a title of sovereign might. When the Most High divided to the nations our inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. It was the sovereign God who divided the nations and separated them amongst the lands, gave them their portions according to their numbers. The Most High did that. The sovereign one. Psalm 21, verse 7. The king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. It's only the Most High can keep our feet. It's only the Most High can establish our ways. It's only the Most High can secure us and preserve us. What did Daniel say? The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And so that's what the Lord is saying here. This place is no ordinary place. This is the Lord. This is the highest God, the living and true God. This is the Omnipotent One. Anyone in that place is safe and secure and preserved. It's the place to be in the time of assault and of trouble. But not only are the metaphors drawn from a war or military world, they're also drawn from the animal world. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Here again are pictures of the safety of the believer in the Lord. But we've moved from rocks and fortresses and the place of safety from advancing hordes. We have moved from that scene to the scene of animals, visible and invisible creatures. And these are pictures of the safety of the believer in a different way. The birds of the air. The believer's like a bird. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler is the bird trap that has been placed by the fowler who wants to capture the bird. Not that saints literally are snared by a physical device. But we face the fowler. We face the attacks of the devil, what the Bible calls the snares, the devices of Satan. The snare that captures the animal is a danger. And we're vulnerable to it. But there's not only the snare of the fowler. There's the pestilence. We've been thinking a lot about this in recent times. Here is the invisible virus. Whenever the psalmist mentions the pestilence here, he's talking about the viral world, the world of bacteria, the world of infection and diseases, the microscopic, that walks in the night, that can't be seen, that's not visible, yet it wastes and destroys in the noonday. Its destruction is highly visible, but its walk is dark. The virus is invisible. It's a metaphor in the physical world. It's a metaphor from the physical world. But it is not just that bubonic plague or the Black Death or the coronavirus is in view here. Moses is speaking of the spiritual warfare also. And fitting with the animal world metaphor, he is providing to us images of safety and security that we have in the Lord. And here we have the security pictured as not a fortress, not a rock, but as the wings of the Lord. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. So we don't only have a fortress in the Lord, we have that, but we have this as well. This is comforting. This is also a place of security, there's no doubt about that. But there's something in this metaphor of the feathers and of the wings that is not in the military metaphors. There's warmth here in verse 4, isn't there? There's gentleness. There's cure, compassion and love. God is living. God is loving. Jesus Christ, our Saviour, is gracious. The gentle Jesus. That's why Moses had to multiply the metaphors. Yes, absolute security. Omnipotent power. Absolute divine sovereignty. But also softness. Warmth and gentleness and life and grace, abundant compassion and grace, the rich grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's described here right down to the very feathers. This is the grace of our Lord portrayed, like the mother hen. Remember how Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But you would not. You wouldn't come into the place. You wouldn't come under the wings. You wouldn't feel these feathers surrounding you and embracing you. That's the place to be. Oh, child of God, tuck yourself right in there under the wing of your Saviour. Pray it. What did the psalmist say? Keep me as the apple of the eye. That's a great prayer to pray in these days. Keep me as the apple of the eye. The virus, the infection runs about, but hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 17, verse 8. What did David say? You remember when he fled from Saul? Oh, there was the fowler. There was the adversary. There was the assault. What did David say? Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. That's what God wants you to do, child of God. Make your refuge in the shadow of the Lord's wings until all the calamities of the coronavirus be overpassed. The story is told of the early settlers in America as they spread across the prairies and coming upon scorched ground, devoured by the fires and flames. One kicked over a charred bird, probably a grouse, and alive from under its wings, under its coverings, dashed out the little chicks. They had been preserved by the mother hen who gave her life in preserving them. Surely this is our Lord Jesus Christ. He covered his people with his feathers. He tucked them in under his wings, having received them in the everlasting decree of God's and his electing grace. He tucked them right in, and he was incarnate, and he went to the cross, and he died for us. The virus of sin, the sting of death, the power of death which is in the hands of the fowler. How do we escape all this? Because there's something more terrible than a physical virus and the sting of an awful, lethal pestilence. There's the virus of sin and the sting of death. How do we escape all this? How does our soul escape as a bird out of the snare of the fowler? It is in the life and death and sacrifice and love of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. How are we saved? Not only saved, but eternally safe and secure. It is by being in this place, in Christ, under his wings, under the wings of him who bore the curse, who went through the burning, who said, I thirst. And so, child of God, say to your dear Lord Jesus, and say it to him every day, in the shadow of thy wings, Lord Jesus, will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will say of thee, Lord, thou art my refuge and my fortress. My God, in thee will I trust. Be comforted and rest in Jesus.